You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We love you, Jesus. Oh, how we want to be near.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Grace Alive radio broadcast. A ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church, located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Thank you for joining us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. We're praying for you that as you listen, God will use the content of this program to help you better understand His Word and strengthen your relationship with Jesus the Savior. When listening today, if you would like us to pray with you or need to speak with us, please text us at 772-205-6552 and someone will reply with a text or phone call. Today, we listen to a special message titled Come to Jesus. It's delivered by our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar. Life in this world can bring some great burdens, burdens that we take on ourselves. We carry weights of failure or guilt and shame or unrealistic expectations for who we are or should be. There are also burdens placed on us by the world. The world's system is consistently trying to push us into a mold. Those who were present when Jesus spoke knew this. Roman occupation, the burdens that the Pharisees placed on them, the struggles of life we all face, and more. But Jesus invited those people and us, weakened and burdened, to come to Him for rest. Is that you today? Think on this as you listen to this message from our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar.
The sermon title today is Come to Jesus. How original, I know, but it's the thrust of what God is calling each one of us to. And until we can truly comprehend what this means, there's going to be a ceiling to what God does in and through our lives. This morning, we'll actually be dissecting one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. We are gathered together on this precious, sacred Lord's Day. We just heard these students lead out in a just wonderful, God-glorifying fashion. Amen? To the edification of our souls. But God's really been speaking to me the last couple of weeks, personally, about these Scriptures. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It's been wrecking my soul in the most holy way possible. As Pastor Sam's mentioned before, I've mentioned before, Pastor Kevin's mentioned before, really what these sermons are birthed out of is our overflowing relationship with God. And you get to simply listen in to what God is showing the preacher. And hopefully you are encouraged in that as well. My three big themes today as I kind of go through this, which is centering my entire message around, is come to Christ, come under Christ, and come after Christ. So I've learned in Bible college, define your terms. So come to Jesus, because we're going to get to come who are weary and heavy laden. You can come to Him, you can rest in Christ and in Him alone. It's the free offer of salvation, is the free offer of restoration. He's our Savior. And then we come under Jesus, under the authority of Jesus Christ. He is not only our Savior, He's also our Lord. And then we come after Jesus in our daily walk, daily sanctification, growing each day more and more into the image and likeness of Christ, our Lord. I want to mine the gold out of these verses here today. They're such deeply profound and saturated verses that we'll be digging into. So in rapid fire succession, Jesus is illustrating to us and commanding us to sit at His feet and dwell. How many of us, if we're being honest, we love Jesus, we want to serve Jesus, but we get out in front of God from time to time. And what God is saying, stay in lockstep right by me. There is safety. There is refuge. We are the crown jewel of God's creation. That is not meant for mere bragging rights, but rather to uphold the call to which God has put on our lives, to live righteous, joyfully obedient lives for God's renown, God's glory, and our eternal good. So like I said, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, is primarily where we're going to camp out today while visiting some other friends along the way, picking out other scriptures that relate. But these are the three main verses for today. So I feel like being a little old school here today. So if you are able, let's stand up. Let's read the word of God together, standing together under the reading of God's word, and we can read it together. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You all may be seated. Thank you. So I have a picture right here. This is important. Word pictures are very important. This is the locale, we believe, in context of where Jesus is uttering these words in Matthew chapter 11. And here is a rendering of much of what it looked like from an aerial standpoint in Jesus' day. So that's a great picture. Because right now, here's the context. Matthew chapter 11. We must read what's before and what's after to understand what's going on. Mrs. Chess brought that up earlier about precept upon precept. Scripture interprets other scripture. So we know because in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, Jesus says, I went to go preach in their cities, talking about the disciples' cities. Four of them from this area, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and they would have been right here. And this is really awesome and important because also earlier in Matthew chapter 11, he mentioned those who weren't willing to repent of their sin. They weren't willing to have childlike faith. Remember, they played the flutes and you wouldn't dance and you were sad and you didn't have joy. And this is the context because this would have been the main heartbeat and thrust in the upper northwest of Galilee over near Capernaum. So I could just kind of see it right there, kind of the top left where you are. I could just really envision in the heart thrust and the heartbeat of civilian life, Jesus is echoing out these verses. And also about these verses, they are utterly unique to the Gospel of Matthew. It's only found in the Gospel of Matthew. Verse 28, I love this, come who are weary and heavy laden, affirms the doctrine of justification. Some of you have heard this before, also meaning just as if I never sinned. That God, when he sees us, doesn't hold our sin against us, rather he gives to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He sees the perfect righteousness of Christ. He doesn't hold against us our sins. Not that we haven't sinned, of course we have. And it's a serious offense to the Lord. But Jesus, while we were yet sinners, he died for each one of us. And then we go to verse 29, which affirms the doctrine of progressive sanctification. I will come, I will give you rest for your weary souls. We have been saved. We've been set apart. We've been sanctified by the blood of Christ. What's required is a daily dying to self, taking up our cross and following him. Come under Jesus. Come under his authority. Come under his lordship. All authority under heaven has been given to me, as he says in the Great Commission. So let's kind of backtrack again. Come to me. When he says, come to me, come is an adverb used as an active imperative, which means it demands an immediate faith response. This is not Jesus saying, oh, wait until you jolly well please. He's saying, come to me now. I want to give you rest for your weary soul now. I want to sanctify and save you now. I want to do a supernatural work in your life right now. And I want you to notice the emphasis on personal relationship, not on doctrinal content or mental assent. And for those of you that have known me for any length of time, you know that I am all about sound doctrine. I love sound doctrine. It's of utmost importance. But there is a reason the Apostle Paul says that knowledge puffeth up. So it's possible that we can have all the head knowledge in the whole world, but missing the real core of what Jesus is saying. Because really, as our understanding of God's word goes, so goes our faith, right? Our faith can only rise as high as our theology. I understand that, but he's saying, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Next, I want you to notice the and. No word in scripture is fluff. It's all meaningful. It all really matters. So notice the and. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is not a multiple choice. This is a package deal. I want to come, I want to save you, then I want to set you apart. I want to send you out on mission for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His commands are not burdensome to carry and uphold and obey. They're light. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. We lay our burdens down at the feet of Jesus. And this word learn is so important, comes from the very same root word, disciple. So here's what that means. Being a believer in Jesus Christ and being a follower of Jesus Christ are inseparable realities. We can't believe but then not live the way that Jesus has clearly commanded us to live. We have to do both. And this word is a very strong word, learn, very important, which is why I'm bringing it up. The word learn means to direct one's mind to something, to gladly submit under, to ultimately experience. For so many, it's our dad's faith or our mom's faith or our grandparents' faith, and that's great. Spiritual heritages are wonderful, but it also needs to be your faith, your reality, your purpose, because ultimately in Christ, we are yoked to ultimate purpose and fulfillment. We are to experience the new abundant life of Jesus with joy and peace that only he can bring, only he can give. And it needs to be settled into the deepest recesses of our soul, or we will not survive the days ahead. That's what John Piper says right here. Renowned, well-respected theologian slash pastor John Piper puts it this way. Wimpy worldviews produce wimpy Christians, and wimpy Christians will not survive the days ahead. That's a powerful, strong word, but a strong word that we need to hear nonetheless. We need it. I've heard it this way before a lot of times, that hard words produce hard people and soft words produce soft people. So sometimes we need to actually have hard truths of scripture to hit us right in the chest. And I cannot stress this any more emphatically. The days of evil are increasingly so. We must find our total rest in Christ alone. Self-reliance, resting on our laurels, doing what worked 20, 30 years ago will not cut it. Yes, we apply the timeless truths of God's word. Those do not change. Amen. The immutability of God. Pastor Sam's been talking about that. God and his word do not change. But we must stand at attention to the directives overflowing out of the heart and mind of Christ. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, I hold all things, all thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. So when Jesus says, come who are weary, come who are heavy laden, it implies something, that we're bearing the burdens of others, which we're supposed to. Paul says, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice. So there is a burdening for other souls that is a requisite to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and others who are burdening the wickedness surrounding us. Anybody else burdening and being burdened by the wickedness surrounding us? And we are feeling crushed in our spirits. And Jesus says we are the ones to come to Jesus and find our ultimate rest. Jesus has come to dwell with us and tabernacle with us. If I'm being real, I can struggle with being weary and heavy laden. I know a lot of you can too, because you've told me, we've talked about it, and I can totally empathize and relate. But I want to give you good news and me good news that Jesus has come to tabernacle with us. He specializes in the weary and the heavy laden. A hospital for the sick, amen? That's Jesus. We can run to Jesus. We can come to Jesus. He's our Savior. And then we come under Jesus as our Lord. As we go back to Matthew 11, the word all leaps off the page to me. Come all who are weary and heavy laden. Here is the free and open offer of the gospel. Maybe somewhere in our weariness, we've turned away from God. You know what's alarming and applicable to us today? That the majority of people who heard the sweet invitation rejected it and ultimately rejected the one who spewed this out, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Our God is holy. We have to get this to understand who we're dealing with, the God of all creation, the God of heaven. that our God is holy, yet love. Our God is just, yet compassionate and kind. And I think some of us need to hear this today. I know I need to hear this today. And God's been wrecking my soul with this. God is not repulsed by you. He's drawn to you. He's drawn to you. He loves you with an everlasting, eternal, compassionate, kind love. And that's why he says, come to me, who are weary and heavy laden. A few verses prior, it's amazing. Jesus is actually pronouncing judgment on wicked city after wicked city. And in the same breath, a couple verses later, is giving this astounding invitation message to all who are willing to listen, abide, and obey. You know the old hymn, we sung one earlier, but here's another one. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. So what's amazing, when Jesus is pronouncing these woes on these people, woe on Tyre and woe on Sidon and woe on Capernaum. Woe to you, for I came and you didn't listen. But Jesus then a couple verses later says to these same exact people, come to me who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Remember, his commands are not burdensome. They are light. They are a delight to carry and uphold and honor. The earlier teachings of Jesus, and most of all, his miracles and the fanfare that came with it at this point were long gone. They came to a screeching halt. And here's a picture that Pastor Sam had brought up last week. This was the reality right here of believers in Jesus Christ in that day. Christians being strung up on a cross, just like their Savior, up the Roman highways and byways as a signal to Romans and others, don't you dare mess with us. If you're a follower of the way, which they called followers of Jesus in that day, you're a follower of the way, that's your future. That's where you're going to end up. So of course, people were leaving Jesus by the droves. Jesus says we are to give up everything to follow him. The 72 disciples were sent out to the various surrounding towns, and the overwhelming response was what? It wasn't revival. It wasn't excitement. For the majority of people, it was total rejection, utter denial, downright apathy. Doesn't that sound like Christianity in America in 2021? And I'm not trying to slam anybody, I'm not naming anybody, but really it's so-called Christianity in 2021. Easy believism, as some call it. No, he's our Savior and he died for our sin. You better believe it. You bet your bippy that's true. But then on top of that, he is our Lord. We gladly submit under him. We don't have to, we get to. We run into his arms. The churches in India, Afghanistan, China, Iran, these disciples are getting it. And the global church of Jesus Christ is being built moment by moment, brick by brick, hour by hour, day by day. Even now, as I'm preaching this message, there are hundreds of thousands of people coming to saving faith in Christ right now. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If we are not careful, we can be swept up by the insanity of this world. It's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, isn't it? Nuttier than a Snickers bar. And it's easy to become easily discouraged and swayed by every wind, every doctrine, every teaching that comes out of our world. And I want to show you another picture here. This is really important. As I said earlier, Jesus would have been teaching in the northwest portion of the Sea of Galilee, right over here, right next to Capernaum and Chorazin. And that's really important to know because Chorazin actually is where the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, were given 6 chapters later. And I went and did the digging. That was 1 year prior to Matthew chapter 11 was the Sermon on the Mount. And can you see it also? Capernaum, again, that's where Peter resided and other disciples resided. It was their neck of the woods. So can you see it now? I can see this as clear as day. Believing God showing me kind of a little behind the curtain here, that these same believers that would have heard, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are you when they persecute you. Blessed are the meek. Are the same ones that are coming to the upper northwest portion of the Sea of Galilee, hearing Jesus echo these words in Matthew 11, when it wasn't so cool to follow Jesus anymore. It actually was quite dangerous from a worldly standpoint. Your head could be put on a silver platter. We're actually going to get to that. That's a nice little segue. The way my mind works, the same believers would have heard this sermon would now have been hearing Matthew chapter 11, "Come all who are weary and heavy laden." And Jesus is saying this, "Do you want rest for the sin that shackles you? For the sin that so easily entangles and ensnares? Do you want peace when the world is seemingly running roughshod over us as believers? The peace and joy that only Jesus can give." And I want to go back to this. All you that labor and are heavy laden, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. What's fascinating is that in the original language, it's very interesting, and it talks about a straining that Paul tells Timothy is a qualification for elders and preachers in the labor of God's word. It's only found twice. It's only found twice. Right here, "Come all who labor and are heavy laden," and in the qualifications of an elder and a pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we all go back to the straining for a moment. What does Paul say in Philippians? That we are to strain in the upward call that is found in Christ Jesus. So there is a spiritual maximization of energy that God is calling us all to, not just the pastors. The Bible calls this concept the priesthood of all believers. God's calling us to serve. If you're hospitable, use your gift in hospitality. If you're gifted in teaching, teach. If you're gifted in serving, serve. If you're gifted in encouragement, encourage people. This is powerful stuff. So many of us are distraught and they're heavy laden, and we're bouncing from one new story to the next, from one godless tyrant to the next, and we can't seem to get relief. Am I right? The word labor here in the Greek is kopaio, which means to work to the point of sweat and exhaustion. To work until you are absolutely exhausted. Put a fork in him, he's done. Right? That's what he's saying, is that we are meant not to burn out, but we are meant to labor intensely in all that we do for the glory and the renown of God. As the pastor study and prepares in the proclamation of God's word, it is not a light endeavor. And what God is saying is that for all of us as believers, that's what he's calling us to do in whatever our spiritual gift is, to labor intensely, to work out of the gifting that God has put on our lives. And here's also what's interesting. Kapayo, that word, those who labor, it is a present active participle, which means that sometime along the way in your past, somebody dumped a load on you and you're still carrying it right now. We came into these doors carrying something. Whether it's bitterness, whether it's lack of faith, whether it's mistrusting God and his character, whether it's a hardship from when you were a young boy or a young girl that you just can't seem to shake. And what God is saying is, come to me. You don't have to carry that burden anymore. You can lay it down. Your burden, I'm gladly bearing. And we're consumed with the world, the affairs of the world, and we are being dragged down and bogged down and not truly leveraging our lives for the glory of God, which is what he purposed for us to do from the foundations of the world. We are God's workmanship, created in the image and likeness of Christ Jesus. And here's what Jesus is saying. It's not bad enough that you're working hard, that you're laboring, but we're doing it in our own strength if we're being honest sometimes. I know I do it in my own strength. God forbid, but I do from time to time, I admit it. And what happens when we do it in our own strength? We increase the load 500-fold, 1,000-fold. So it's not bad enough that you were dumped a load. You're carrying more and more and more until you can't even walk anymore. And Jesus says, when you come to me, you must come with an obedient spirit. You must come to take a yoke. We are to be joyfully obedient and submissive to Christ. We are to submit under Christ, run after Christ, believe in Christ. To be a believer and a disciple are the same exact thing. They are inseparable realities. And then we also have here in the Greek, mathetes, in the Greek means to be a learner, to gladly submit under your teacher, under Christ. So God's calling us to submit gladly under the authority of Jesus Christ. We must come to take a yoke, and this isn't a yoke of slavery. This is a yoke of restoration. This is a yoke of healing. This is a yoke of cleansing that God wants to do in you and me.
We pause briefly from today's broadcast to welcome those who are just joining us. This is the Grace Alive Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We're listening to a message titled, Come to Jesus, delivered by our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar. Jesus is God, the Creator. He became human and lived in this world. Because He is human, He understands our burdens. Because He is God, He can offer help and power as we bear them. If you need to speak to someone about what you're hearing, text us at 772-205-6552. You can also send us a message through our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send any comments, questions, or prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from Pastor Mitchell McGar.
In Jesus' day, yokes were made out of wood. The oxen would be brought in, and the carpenter, and very likely Jesus, made yokes as a boy in his carpenter shop in Nazareth, and him and his dad. So there's a good chance, in my estimation, when he is saying, my yoke is easy, he may have had that same yoke in his hand as he's teaching. Jesus' preferred method of teaching was parables. 25% of his teachings are in story form. So he would have been using object lessons. I can't prove it, but I have a hard time believing otherwise. We are to have a singular devotion to God. Some of us, if not most of us, have an unsettled spirit about the way this nation and world is heading, aren't we? It keeps a lot of us up at night. There's the bill we can't afford to pay. The relationship that has been or needs to be severed and has earthly repercussions. Our children and grandchildren are making unwise, ungodly decisions as we fervently pray for them day and night. On top of that, we do not know what is going to happen the other side of the day with terrorism running around us, ungodly measures and institutions all around us, indoctrination in our school system showing kids the most vile things around us, things that are unconstitutional, overstretches, or forefathers would be turning over in their graves. When Jesus says he'll give us rest, I want you to catch this. He uses this special word, in me. And maybe that doesn't ring a bell. I'm going to ring it for you. And the I am statements in the Gospel of John, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Before Abraham was, I am. These are all verses declaring divinity. I'm God. So he's not just saying, oh, in human form, I'm gentle and I'm lowly. He's saying, I am God, the God of all creation, the God of wonders, the God of all galaxies. Everything was spoken into existence by my mouth, Colossians chapter 1. And he's saying, I'm that God, and I am gentle and lowly. A lot of times we don't have that picture of God, do we? And yes, he's righteous, and yes, he's holy. I'm not dismissing that one iota. My favorite doctrine in all the Bible is the holiness of God. I love it. But he's also so loving and compassionate. He's come, he is gentle, he is lowly, which means he's approachable. Pastor Kevin put it this way earlier this week, that he's condescended himself here on planet Earth to take on human flesh, to live the life we can never live and died the death we should have all died. So here's what God's saying, what Jesus is saying, synonymous, one and the same. I am King of Kings, I'm Lord of Lords, Ultimately, I'm going to ride on a white horse. All evil will be utterly destroyed. I'm going to take no prisoners in the second coming at all. Because true peace does not come until all evil and wickedness is done for. So he's going to put away all evil and all wickedness. He's going to slaughter it. And guess what we're going to have in the new heavens and the new earth? Peace and joy and full restoration. Rest in him. God is gentle and lowly. While Jesus is human, he is yet still God and has ultimate authority and kingdom rule over all the affairs of mankind. On this side of eternity, we must first know what it means to mourn in order for us to be comforted. I'm just so convinced. Matthew 5, right in the general area, they would have had these words in the back of their mind still 1 year later in Matthew chapter 11 when he's saying what he's saying to come to me who are weary and heavy laden. They're mourning over the state of the world. Remember the Beatitudes, blessed are those who mourn for they will be comforted. Jesus wept for the state of Jerusalem. In the Greek, it is the strongest language reserved for mourning for the dead. It's the same used in Genesis 37 when Joseph believed his son was dead. Same verbiage, same Greek word. And that's so apropos, so well-fitting, so tailor-made for today, isn't it? We are mourning for the dead. And I'm not talking about being put in the ground and they are so-called dead because as Pastor Sam has said, these people that are saints that are dead, they are more alive today than they ever have been. I'm talking about the walking dead, the spiritually dead, the God who gives common grace to the lost and to the saint. He's the one who's come to give life in Christ, for us to be alive in him. In our country, we have pagan, godless people running amok around us, inmates that run the asylum all around us. We must know what it means to be crushed in agony by the weight and reality of sin, because once we do, we'll be able to grasp the fullness of God's grace and his mercy, because it's in his mercy that he says, come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your weary soul. Rest for you as you labor in the end times. We must die to ourselves, raise the white flag to God, fully surrender every facet of our lives unto him. As these same disciples are being hauled off like cordwood, they're remembering these famous words, my burden is easy, and my yoke is light. By the way, this is the only time in the teachings of Jesus where he actually describes his heart. I am gentle and lowly. That's who I am. I am approachable. I've condescended here on the planet Earth, and I am gentle. And being gentle and lowly were not virtues in that day, in that world. So that's what he's saying. We ought to be countercultural to the ways of this world. Jesus' blood, as we go to the cross, is flowing crimson red, wearing a crimson mask, pierced like a stuck pig for our transgressions. I want you to hear this today, and Pastor Sam's mentioned this a little bit, and I want to rally behind it. God is not taking us out behind the woodshed. He isn't taking the horse out behind the barn to put us out of our misery. He's come into our misery, into our uneasiness, into our fear, so that we can become more like him every day. So that we can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So what's extremely important here is context supremely matters. It matters. So we're going to kind of backtrack a little bit to Matthew chapter 11 earlier on to really understand the fullness of what's happening. John the Baptist was arrested at this point. Earlier in Matthew 11, in verse 12, it reads as follows. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. There's a total of 18 months from the days of John the Baptist to this point in the public ministry of Jesus. John the Baptist had quite, can we say, the spiritual gift of riling up the religious elite in the Roman Empire at the same time. Herod Antipas, which was the Herod in that day, actually hated John the Baptist so passionately. He was truly a disruptor to the status quo, John the Baptist was. And the Greek word for violence here is biazo. It's a Greek passive meaning that utter anarchy and oppression was being brought on the people of God that are diametrically opposed to the ways of Christ, which we know as Orthodox Christianity. And what God is saying is that in the midst of that hardship, in the midst of violent men who want to take us by force, here's what he's saying. Be ambassadors for Christ. Come under Christ. May Christ be the Lord of your life until the day he descends and consummates all of world history. Here's a quote on the matter from D.A. Carson. The kingdom has come with holy power and magnificent energy that has been pushing back the frontiers of darkness. This is especially manifest in Jesus' miracles and ties in with Jesus' response to John the Baptist. The kingdom is making great strides. Now is the time for courageous souls, forceful people, to take hold of it. This verb contains the reality that the kingdom of God ought to push back against the darkness and evil in the worldly systems all around us. Yes, we grieve due to the darkness, but we ought not to cower, running away like a scolded dog. God has more in store for us than that. We are to labor, and he will give us rest each and every day. We are to fight back with our spiritual arsenal of prayer, standing up for righteousness even in the direct face of evil. Herod Antipas was an evil madman and barbarian, just like those tasked with overseeing the vast majority of our world's affairs. Same with Emperor Nero, Emperor Domitian, as Pastor Sam has mentioned before. Tyranny has run amok. There are plenty of Sodoms and Canaans in the land, but we have been called to find true Sabbath rest in Christ. We are to run cross grain to the world. We are not to look like the world, act like the world, be like the world. We ought to be set apart, sanctified in the good work that God desires to do through you and through me. We aren't to be yoked to emotional whims, pagan ideologies, worldly systems. We ought to be yoked to Christ and Christ alone. When we are yoked to Christ, we are yoked to ultimate purpose and fulfillment. And here's a good picture of that. Two oxen together go much farther, much more effective, much more productive. So when Jesus says his yoke is easy, again, probably holding one in his hand or one nearby, what it literally means, Christos in the Greek, it means well-fitting, well-suited, tailor-made. Tailor-made. It fits you to a T. So when he says, my yoke is easy, he's saying, it's tailor-made for you. I fashioned you. You're my daughter. You're my son. You're my child. I have a purpose and a plan for your life. I have a purpose for you to glorify me in all that you do. So these yokes were made of wood. It was fashioned perfectly and accordingly as to not constrict or strangle the ox. It's like Jesus knew what he was doing or what he was saying. The Greek for carpenter, tekton, was used to describe what we would call a modern-day handyman or contractor. And even deeper than that, actually somebody that may have even designed bridges. So Jesus and his dad, they were so gifted, Jesus and Joseph, in what they were doing. So when he's talking with the authority of God, yes, but he's also talking with what he was learning as he was maturing as truly human here on planet Earth. And what this also means as a handyman is that Jesus would have done stone and woodwork alike. Jesus had a working knowledge of all these things. So the same Jesus who said, I am God, I am gentle, and I am lowly, would have more than likely been the one with his dad constructing much of the stone and woodwork in that day. That's important context for when he's saying, my yoke is easy, he's saying, it fits you to a T. perfectly tailor-made for you, because my love for you is special and it's purposeful and it's utterly unique. As Pastor Sam has said before, we are all God's favorite. God loves each one of us to that degree. There wasn't a Home Depot or a Lowe's in that day. Jesus and his father, you know, carpenters who were proficient with wood, like Jesus and his father, especially that neck of the woods, I mean, would have been very rare. Stonemasonry was very common in that day. Being proficient in woodwork in that day, not everybody had that skill set. So there's a very good chance that Jesus would have been the main person charged with making yokes out of wood, him and his dad. The same yoke that Jesus created that would have gone around the very ox's neck that isn't constricting, isn't restrictive, is the same yoke that he's putting around ours. But it's gentle. It's tailor-made. It's well-suited. He knows your struggles. He knows your pain. He knows what keeps you up at night. I don't know all those things, just whatever some of you tell me. Pastor Sam doesn't know those things. Only God and you do. But I want you to hear this. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. So is it a hard road to follow Jesus? Is it always gonna be easy peasy, lemon squeezy? No, no. God doesn't say that, but what God does say is, I'm with you always to the end of the age, that I will always be there. You know what's really, really hard? Living like a pagan and having the sin in front of you. When am I gonna get caught? When's this gonna happen? They're living in such utter fear and terror. So he's saying, in contrast, my yoke is easy. It is tailor-made for you. Jesus knows our needs. He knows our struggles as we kopaio, as we toil, as we labor. The circumstances may seem impossible. It may look like the enemies are circling all around us. The walls of pressure are caving in. But he says, maybe, just maybe, why that's happening is you aren't coming to me. Not because I want this to happen to you, but I've come to give you rest. And so many of us, we want Jesus on our own terms, don't we? Including me, sometimes. We love you as Savior. You saved our sins. Awesome. Oh, now you're Lord and you're the boss of our lives. I don't know about that. And what he's saying is, yes, we come to Jesus, but then we have to come under Jesus and his ultimate authority over our lives. And it's a joy to serve him. It's hard to believe I've been saved now for 15 years. My goodness, almost half my life. And it's been the joy of my life to serve and live for Jesus. And I know there's saints here that have been saved for a lot longer than that. Isn't it a joy, church? Family of God, amen, amen. So Jesus has come to give us rest. Like John the Baptist in that fortified castle when he was arrested, that cramped in cell that Paul was in, the Christians being slaughtered all the day long on the Roman highways and byways as a way to signify to the Christian, don't mess with Roman law and rule. And Jesus says, I've come to give you rest. My invitation is here for you. It is the well that will never run dry. So for those deep in sin, Jesus has come tailored to you as your soul cleanser. For those worried and rightfully so about the affairs of our increasingly evil world, Jesus has come and has tailored for us a peace that passes all understanding. For those of you who are very sick or know somebody who is, Jesus has come tailored to be your advocate and sustainer in times of great need. God is an ever-present help in time of need, as the scriptures state. Jesus is the ultimate builder of the church. We haven't experienced the New Jerusalem yet, but it's coming. It's coming. And Jesus, being the ultimate builder of his church, says that I'm going to go and build and prepare a place for you. I'll show you here. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So here's what's fascinating. In first century Jewish customs, when a man and a woman were to be married, it is amazing what would happen. And this fits all right back in, so just bear with me for a moment. The man would come over to the house. The woman's family would all be there. A cup of wine would be poured out, and the man would drink it, signifying his desire to marry her. Here's a good rendering of what that may have looked like. It was a big family affair. It wasn't just mom and dad. It was uncles and aunts, and I mean, it was a big deal, okay? And what's also amazing is that contrary to what people think in that time of history, the woman actually had a choice in the matter, to be married or not to be married. He would go his separate way, and in her part of town, she would be known as one who has been bought with a price. He would go, and she would go, and neither knew the time of the marriage until the father said, "It's time." And when that happened, they were joined together in holy matrimony. Is that connecting any dots for you? When Jesus says, "I've come to prepare a place for you," that means Jesus is coming for his bride. And what's also amazing is that the woman, as we just read, would have been known as one who was bought with a price. As Christians, we are known as ones who have been bought with a price. Jesus is coming. He's coming for us. Jesus will return when the Father says, "It's time." We are known to others as ones who have been bought. The wedding supper of the Lamb is coming, and we will be feasting at that table and join with Christ forever. Amen. I want to read that scripture right here as we close. Revelation 19, 6 through 9. "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder crying out, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come.'" Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, "Write this, 'Blessed are those who were invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." And some of you may say, "That's great, but you don't know my story. You don't know my life." You're right, but God does. God does. And nothing that you're facing is uncommon. We've all either been there, or we're going to be there, or we're there right now. And he's saying, "My burden is light. My yoke is easy." Isaiah 26:3, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain. But while we yet have breath in our lungs and blood pumping through every artery, may we be transfixed on knowing Christ deeper, loving him more intimately, finding rest in the only threshold possible, Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is beckoning us to die to ourselves, to come to the end of ourselves, to take killing sin in our lives more seriously than we ever have before. He's saying, take off the yoke of burden. Take off the yoke of the world. Take the yoke off the concerns of the world, sinful slavery. Put on a new yoke, one that's tailor-made for you, a yoke that is easy and steered and guided by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We are to come to Jesus. Come under Jesus, run after Jesus, and in that we will find our rest in his yoke that is easy, in his burden that is light. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your purposes. Thank you for your power on full display. God, I pray for those here in the church, those who are part of our wonderful church family, God, that we would all take that yoke, which is easy, and your burden, which is light. I pray, God, that this would be a safe space right now. The altar is open. You can sit at your chair if you want, but the altar is also open. If you want to come lay your burdens down at the feet of Jesus Christ, this would be a great time to do so, to be restored. to be healed and to be used by you. So thank you for your rest. Thank you for who you are. May we live out these verses this coming week ahead. May we come to you and then come under you and then come after you until the day you return or call us home. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. The rest that Jesus offers is not so we can sit still. It is to enable and empower us to live victoriously in this world. Join us now for some discussion about the message. With us today are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries.
This is such a great picture that Pastor Mitchell has presented us today from the mouth of Jesus. Come all you who are weary, come everybody who's heavy laden. And you think about the people he was talking to, the early church, and how heavy laden they were. They were living in the midst of difficult times, persecuted times, times when they didn't know what each day would bring. The reality is, we're kind of there too now. And that's a different world than, say, I was in as a young pastor. As a young pastor, I used to talk about difficult times, and we were living in a time then as a nation when things were kind of going pretty good. We had some really tough times and some wars and various things, but I would talk in my early days about end times, and I would think, well, yeah, they're coming, but not in my generation, not in my time, not perhaps before I die. As I get older and I look more and more at the book of Revelation, I'm starting to say, wait a minute, I'm starting to see things in the Bible that seem to be unfolding right in front of my eyes. And we've just been a year plus in a pandemic. When I look at the book of Revelation and it talks about there is coming a plague at the end times when 25% of the world's population will die all at the same time, 2 years ago, we couldn't describe how that would happen. It was kind of a vague fantasy in our mind. Now, every one of us can look at our world and say, oh, I see it now. I see it very clearly. Here's the problem. As these things unfold around us, and we see ourselves, in my opinion, careening toward the prophesied end times, we can look at that, and as Christians, we can find ourselves weary and heavy laden. Not just talking about the world in their sin, but talking about us as Christians, weary and heavy laden. We're now at a time when 31% of those under the age of 30 are now saying they don't believe there's a God. 31%. Are now agnostic or atheistic in our world, and that's not something I've ever experienced before. And in fact, I had somebody in my office this last week, a lady, and she was crying. She was telling me the church I was saved in, the pastor just sent me a letter from up north, and he said that the things he used to teach about what was sin and what isn't sin, he's now changed his mind, and he now believes that he can embrace things that he used to call sinful behavior. And she was crying, saying, what is going on with our world? So I just want to say to you today, if you're out there right now and you're looking at the world around you and you're just dying on the inside, it is time, as is true of every day of our life, to get our eyes up, 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 off of our circumstances, onto our Savior. But picture what Pastor Mitchell has presented here, this Savior with open arms outstretched toward you saying, yes, 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 you're living in difficult times right now. You look around you at the news, you don't even want to watch because of the things you're seeing, but come, come to me. You who are weary, come to me. You who are heavy laden, even as believers, if you're heavy laden, I will give you soul rest. I will give you rest to the depths of your soul, but you need to turn your eyes toward me. Get them off of the stuff around you. Get them up. Get them focused on me. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Let me give you soul rest today.
What is so amazing and astounding is exactly what Jesus is offering us. To come to Christ, to come under Christ, and to come after Christ, that we can come to Jesus in salvation, that he wants to receive us and restore us and renew us. His mercies are new every single morning. And then we come under Christ, under his lordship. He is the boss. We gladly submit under him and his rule. And then we come after Christ all the rest of our days, until the day we see him face to face. And that is exactly what Jesus is promising here in this passage. Come to me.
all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And one thing that I wasn't able to say just for the sake of time in my sermon this past Sunday is that these people would have had an absolute connection because they knew their Old Testament to Jeremiah when he was talking about giving the people of Israel continual rest. So when they're hearing, I will give you rest, what they're really hearing is, I will continually rest you every single day, moment by moment, hour by hour. I, God, am with you. And that's the other thing as well that was also mentioned, was that Jesus says, I am gentle and lowly, and uses I am, imi, in the Greek, meaning I am God, I am divine. So he's saying that as God, I am gentle, I am lowly, I am approachable. You can come to me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light, and it is tailor-made for you. And if we're honest for a moment, each one of us, including me, if we're not careful, can get out ahead of God. And we can choose to do things our way instead of God's. God doesn't desire that for us. He doesn't desire for us to be heavy laden or bogged down by the weight and guilt of sin and the craziness of this world. He wants us dwelling at his feet. So let's go dwell at his feet together now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we dwell at your feet. We welcome your power. We welcome your presence. We want to avail ourselves to you as vessels. God, that you would continually fill us up, that you would continually rest us, and that's your desire, but that we would be submissive to that. We would gladly bear that, God. We would run into your presence, not away from your presence. And we believe that you will do all these things in our lives, filling us with power for the days of ministry ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you once again for listening to the program today. It is our great joy and calling that you would know this rest that Jesus offers, first by knowing him as Savior, and then by growing in him as a follower. Please contact us so that we can help you with this. You can text us at 772-205-6552 or go online to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Contact Us tab. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday morning at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kinderman Road in Northport, St. Lucie, just west of US 1. For more information about us, please visit our website. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May the yoke of our powerful Savior bring you his victorious rest. Please visit with us soon.